Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. It's Fund Drive 2024. CITR's annual fundraising event has officially arrived. It's that time of year when we ask you, listeners of the station, to help us continue to provide you with quality independent radio programming. This year, the station's target is $20,000 to help us buy a new transmitter for the station, to help us improve on the old one, which has been in use since the 1970s. All donations can be made at donatetocitr.ca. My show is Techno Progressivo and has been on the air since October of 2010. This is the 301st episode. The station has allowed me to provide you with quality guest mixes and DJ and producer interviews with a who's who of the local club scene, as well as some amazing world-class DJs. Tonight I'll be doing a best of 2023 episode that saw me interview some amazing up-and-comers like Honey Love and Azeka, as well as some true legends of the scene like Marcus Schultz and Quiver. On offer for you this evening is Toronto's MC Flipside Giuseppe Ottaviani and Ferry Corsten, but first is a snippet of my interview with John Acquaviva, a legend of Canada's techno and tech house scene and someone I had been hoping to connect with for about a decade. Here's what he had to say. And when you're making a track, how do you approach that whole process? Do you have a melody or a tune or something in your head before you sit down to make it, or do you sit down at your computer and just play around and see what that leads to?
Any of the above. I just like working with people. I'm a lazy creature by habit, but it's the people I'm around that I then adapt my interactions with. I started off earlier using a food analogy. I don't eat the same food every day. It's even the way you procure your food, whether you grow your food or go shopping at a market. I take that same approach musically. I'm very flexible. I work with some great engineers, and I'm very comfortable in the studio when I finally get myself in there. So, I enjoy it, I love it, but I don't live for it. I mean, I'm just not really like your typical musician or whatever. I've never had to exercise my ghosts and do my own albums. I like working with people. I've had great pleasure and some significant success. That's not why I do it. I don't need to express myself, but I enjoy working with people, and we've made some great tracks. It's about connecting with someone and coming together to, express or explore sounds and whatnot.
Okay, let's talk about labels here. You were initially a part of Plus 8, back to the beginning of that label, but currently you're more focused on Get Physical and Definitive. What's the experience of running those labels like, and how would you define the musical policy for either of them?
You know, so I worked at Plus 8, you know, for 10 years. Rich Haughton and I had Plus 8. We kind of split up after 10 years, so I'm like an ambassador of Plus 8. I still have, I believe, techno credibility and credentials, but, you know, Rich is embodies techno more than I do. I believe I've, you know, kind of built the label, but, you know, he embodies techno more than me. I'm, you know, kind of moved on. Definitive was always nicer. It would just express the nicer side of electronic music. We tried to keep it light and fun, and I kept that. So I've run Definitive through a few incarnations over the decades, and I've just kind of come together with Get Physical. My friends Roland and Philip over at Get Physical, where we're going to re-release some of the old Definitives, which, you know, really captured the essence of fun and rawness. So kind of re-releasing that. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Again, I'm happy to be part of it, but I'm not driven to do one particular thing. So, and after all these years, and, you know, maybe it sounds indulgent, but I can pick and choose. And that's what keeps me interested too, not having to do the same thing every day. We'll be right back.
Okay, given the duration of these labels, how challenging has it been for you to maintain consistency and the quality of the tracks that you put out?
Well, I think it's a fine line when you finally get your moment in the sun, or, you know, your attention, whatever you want to call it, your 15 minutes of fame. A lot of people, you know, maybe know or don't know why, and they hang on, and they hang on in weird ways. Like, we're not really lacking ideas, so we released one idea after another. Plus 8 in particular, we had a lot of hits. And, you know, to Rich's credit, and I think both of us were in sync in that, we were loath to remix a lot of stuff. You know, it's like a piece of art. Why would you do the same piece of art twice? Now, some artists kind of stick on a theme, and sometimes you stick on a theme, but you do variations. But again, we're always constantly wanting to do something new. It's like, you know, just because you've done something, is that all you want to be known for? So we had just very broad and profound interests, and we continued to evolve. So life is about, you know, being curious and moving forward. But a lot of people's like, no, I made it. You know, just like you talk to some people musically, and especially in North America, is like, you know, people were maybe open to music while they were going to school, to university. But it's funny, after 3-4 years, people are stuck in like, well, it's not like the music I used to listen to or I used to make. So people have their moment, and they stick to that moment because they have to do something else. Like, we're just, you know, we're very driven by our passions. I think we have curiosity and overall a pretty good taste. I mean, I know what I like. So I'm very demanding when it comes to food or understanding of information. And people like, I can't believe you live like that. Well, I do. I have very discerning tastes. I'm just not like other people. I joke, I'm so on the spectrum, I'm an effing rainbow.
DJ Wah, and you're listening to the 2024 Fund Drive episode of Techno Progressivo. 101.9 CITR is hoping to raise $20,000 to purchase a new radio transmitter. You can help us by visiting donatetocitr.ca to allow us to continue offering you quality independent radio programming. Let's check out a clip from my interview with MC Flipside.
guess who's back with his heavyweight flow? A king from the dot, so addicted to prose. All I wanna do is rhyme all day, so I had to connect with a king from LA. Me and Whiskey about to go ham. We do it for the culture, not for the gram. We do it for the music, we do it for the love. Turn it up real loud like it's banging in the club. Y'all know what it is right now, get down, break down if you're loving our sound. When the bass goes boom, boom, boom in the room, and the drop hits hard, you can't help but move. Y'all know what it is right now, get down, break down if you're loving our sound. When the bass goes boom, boom, boom in the room, and the drop hits hard, you can't help but move.
Okay, another tough one for you here. You have mentioned a plethora of Canadian producers and DJs, people you've worked with, some you haven't worked with. From that list, and possibly some that aren't even on that list, can you tell me a couple of DJs whom you really admire and why? What makes them so special for you, so inspirational for you?
From a lyrical perspective, I would have to say Tiga. As a producer, as a creator, his concepts. I mean, I was watching the Bugatti video, last week, and I'm just like, wow, it's just the way he thinks, his vision is just incredible. And then from a drum and bass perspective, I mentioned Marcus Visionary earlier. As for Jack in House, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people like Katiris. Demir is very good. New Cats, New Blood, I'm really feeling Vax and Faruqi. Sam Van Horn, as well as for Progressive, I respect and rate Simon Doty very high. And then, stalwarts of techno, people such as Richie and Kenny Glasgow, I respect a lot. And then from the West Coast, I respect Luke McKeon. He's a good friend of mine. It's funny because we approach music so different, but we have always gone along. And big up Nordic Tracks, he's amazing. And then and he's a great person. And he's just a sweet person. I like him a lot. He's always so kind to me. Mistress Barbara is someone else that I rate tremendously. And she's another person I get along with really well. She's a wonderful woman and an incredible DJ. I will always rate her high. I remember watching her with Carl Cox at Miami back in 2001. And she just disintegrated the place. What an artist she is. And then there's, of course, a lot of Canadian bands that I like. So producers from that perspective, like Daniel Lanois, I really like him. What he did with U2 is surreal. I'm very open-minded when it comes to music. And then Sydney Blue, she had a great album during the pandemic. I really loved her song Vibrate. She's another talented person. Daniel Dubb is another artist I rate from Canada. So these are some of the artists that I really like.
So tired of fighting. Destiny appears whenever you come here. Yeah. The fear was bottled up. You helped me give it up and open up my soul.
Alright then, the path is laid. In your eyes it is all explained. The loss of balance is the price of pain. As each year passes, it chips away. Resentment clouds the light of day. Your worst enemy shouldn't live this way. You can top a chart, you can kick the globe. But what's the point if you lose your soul?
She comes like a wave over me.
Watch as we move to the sound.
She comes like a wave over me.
Keep dancing till the buildings come down.
She comes like a wave over me.
Oh, how they watch as we move to the sound.
limit, many like to say. You're coming over me like a tidal wave. You see in me what's felt the first time. The truth inside, one cannot define. Sky's the limit, many like to say. You're coming over me like a tidal wave. Wave, wave, wave.
Okay, looking into that crystal ball here, where do you plan to take this going forward? What is your vision for yourself in production and in DJing?
Well, this year I really want to take it up another level with my DJing. I want to like go onto that fourth deck and really add even more elements of percussion and basically rework and almost create my own tracks on the fly. Load in more samples of my own voice and different sound effects and percussive loops, as well as just, like I mentioned earlier, literal loops of like rides and hi-hats, as well as like using effects on my vocals. And then for production, I want to like add push to my studio and really almost strip back and just take a good kick, a good clap, a good ride, and then load in some of the bass lines I make on my synths, as well as my melodic top line and counter melodies, as well as, you know, pads and things I might want to use at a break, and use push like I would an MPC and strip back, get rid of all the noise and just create a more refined track, you know, using simple. Okay, I look at it like cooking. I compare production to cooking, and having an Italian background, I'm going to use Italian food. When you have a tomato sauce, I don't want to see oregano. That's for pizza. You do not put oregano in pasta sauce. In Italian, we call it sugo. That means the sauce. It has to be a good olive oil. Don't overheat it. The garlic has to melt in it. You cannot burn it, because then suddenly you're going to have a bitter sauce. You do not add sugar to it. That's bullshit. You have to use good tomatoes. You have to use San Marzano. San Marzano is how you pronounce it. And then a good amount of basil, but you don't want to overdo it, and sea salt. And then you let the rest happen naturally. I want to approach the way I do music as Rubito and Flipside like that. Strip back. I don't want to learn 100 new plugins. I just don't, because that's distraction. I want to pull back, and I want to use push for that and pick the best root sounds, because if you have a shit kick drum with a ton of distortion, unless that's your vibe, you can give it to the best mix engineer, and he, she, they could bounce it down on an SSL. It's not going to change that. The sounds that are being worked with are shit. So I want to strip back, pull back, and take my production to that point. Less is more.
Let's go. disco dancing, late night romancing. With 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 disco dancing, late night romancing. Be on that vibe now, feel the enhancement. With disco dancing.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
This is the 2024 Fun Drive edition of Tecno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and 101.9 CITR is trying to raise $20,000 to purchase a new radio transmitter to replace the old one. Head over to donate to CITR.ca to help us accomplish this. CITR offers a broad range of spoken word and independent music programming, and your donation will help us continue to deliver it to listeners. You've just heard a snippet of my interview from MC Flipside. Tonight's third segment comes from Italy's Giuseppe Ottaviani. Let's hear what he had to say. All right, let's talk about Live 3.0. On your YouTube channel, you recently posted a set from a Subculture Bangkok event. Your live performance setup is much different from traditional CDJs and a mixer and seems to be fairly unique to you. How does Live 3.0 work, and what pushed you in the direction of doing this for your performances?
Yeah, I'm always been performing live back in the days because I've never really been a DJ. I've always been a producer. So for me, my performance is all about the music that I'm making in the studio. And then basically play in front of a crowd more than just being a regular DJ, you know, where you select music from Beatport and you just go out and play. It's always been me performing my own mixes. But again, because I became so busy, I couldn't carry on with the live shows every single gig. So what we've done was making the live show bigger and more exclusive, and all the rest is going to be a DJ set, which is fine. So the Live 3.0, which is fairly new, it's been launched in 2020, right before, you know, all the dance floors were shut down. But yeah, I mean, that's my thing. Basically, I work a lot in the studio making exclusive tunes for the 1 hour performance of the Live 3.0. So the majority of the work, it's been done in the studio where I prepare, you know, my entire set, and then I bring this into my live setup. And what I'm doing is basically just controlling the stems from the tracks, adding live drums with my drum machine, and playing the main parts of the songs. For example, you know, like a lead or a pad or a piano, just playing, you know, live elements to make it sounding a little bit more live. And you will feel it because I make a lot of mistakes. So that's good because it makes it real. It's running wild, pumping underneath your skin.
Okay, let's build on that a little bit. I wanted to ask you a few more questions about the full setup. I noticed you have a digital clock running in front of you the entire time. What's the purpose of that? Do you ever make mistakes? And when you're playing your tracks, do you ever remix them or adjust them on the fly? Or do you like to perform them as they were made in the studio?
Yeah, so the clock, it's just to remind me that I have to stop my set at some point, because if I play, I just carry on. So no, that's just a regular clock that every DJ has. So it tells you when you start and tells you when you have to finish. That's totally normal. I can modify on the fly, I mean, within certain limits, because the backing track is running. So, you know, it's how can I explain this? You know, if you play techno, right, which is all based on loops, you can be 100% creative. You can, you know, you can play the song the way you want. When it comes to trance, where you have to follow a melody, you have to follow vocals, you know, you can't really make the track upside down. So what you can control, what I can control, are the single elements, you know, the main elements. So say the kick, the bass, the vocals. You can apply effects. I can control the drums. I can create new drums on the fly with my drum machine. And then the melody, I can play in the melody from the original. I can play a little bit of a different melody. I can do a melody from one song on top of the other song, just because it's me playing that melody. So you can be creative in that sense. It's obviously not 100% live as it will be with a different setup, because as I said before, you have to follow the song. It's pretty creative, yeah. It gives me a nice feeling for sure. Don't cry, ignite it. Too shy, I can't hide it. Alright, I'll wait a day. Get over you.
Okay, just one final follow-up question about the whole Live 3.0 setup. Just because the production of that show is so large, are you having to travel with a crew when you do that, or is that something you can do and manage individually?
Not really. It depends on the shows. Visuals are not synced to the show, so there's not really need of bringing a crew for that. But what I actually need is just to fly there a day before and go for the sound check, making sure everything works. And then, of course, it's always a big stress, you know, because computers are beautiful, but you never know how it goes. And I don't have a plan B. I mean, I don't have a backup. So that makes me a little bit, nervous every single time. So whenever I finish my set, I'm always like, oh yeah, that was great. It was great because, you know, technically it was okay. Nothing really happened, but it happened to me a few years ago that one laptop just crashed and there was no way to wake this laptop up again, and so I had to stop halfway and continue with my USB 6 playing the rest as a DJ set. But it's really rare. I mean, actually that was the only one time that happened. But you know, that makes you conscious that technology is beautiful, but it's never 100% on point.
Great example of the quality programming on offer for you here on 101.9 CITR. That was Giuseppe Ottaviani. CITR is having its 2024 fund drive from February 1st to the 8th of this year. The station is hoping to raise $20,000 to purchase a new radio transmitter to send out a stronger signal. Please help us with this so we can continue offering to you a broad range of independent radio programming. Visit donate2citr.ca to pledge to the station. Up next is the fourth and final interview snippet for tonight, and this was the bucket list of bucket list interviews for me. He's a producer that I followed since the late 90s. It's Dutch trance legend Ferry Korsten. This was my interview with him ahead of his gig in town. Okay, let's take a look at production here. You already mentioned using Ableton for your edits. I'm curious, is that the DAW that you use when you're producing tracks, and why?
No, I'm actually producing in Cubase. And why? I mean, I grew up with Cubase on Atari back in the day. And, I've always been with it until I tried Logic for like a good 2 weeks. And it drove me crazy, so I threw it out of the window. And... obviously, you know, there's two different things to Ableton and Cubase. And what I do love about Ableton is that it's super flexible. So I do use it sometimes in production because Ableton can do certain things that Cubase can't. But on the other hand, you know, like I said, I'm so used to Cubase that, that's my sort of main thing. And Ableton is super easy to use for making edits and quick sort of mashups and stuff because it's so flexible.
Okay, and then within Cubase, when you're making tracks, how do you approach that? Do you generally have a melody in your head or tune in your head before you get going? Or do you just like to play around and see what that leads to?
Both of those, really. Sometimes I'm just sitting there and let my hands just wander around the keyboard and see what happens. And sometimes I'm just hearing a melody in my head. You know, like a few years ago, I was snowboarding. And as I was going down the slopes, there's this little restaurant up there that was playing music for the terrace. And I could hear the music, but because I was going past it, it did something in my head that was completely different than the music that was actually playing. And I heard this thing and I just stopped mid-slope and grabbed my phone and my memo and sung the thing into my memory recorder. And that's sometimes how these things happen. They're in my head and it's almost like a full track in my head. Melody's there, bass line's there, key pad sounds are there. The way I want to do the drums are there instantly. It's fascinating sometimes how that happens.
Walk with me through the city at night. Walk with me, will you? Walk with me, will you? Walk with me through the city at night.
All right, let's talk about radio shows here for a bit. Corsten's Countdown was on the air for 14 years, and Resonation Radio has been on the air since late 2020. Why the shift of shows, and how has that whole transition been for you?
Yeah, I felt, you know, with Corsten's Countdown, doing it for so long, I felt the sort of concept where you could actually vote for your tracks, for your favorite track of the show, you know, and I would play like a top three of the show after. I felt it was getting a little tired. We hadn't sort of like updated the show since the start, and it was also pretty trance heavy in that sense. Just sort of like the last year of that run was it getting more into like houseier stuff and all the other genres really. And I think a personal shift in taste made me go more into that direction, and I felt, okay, you know what, I think it's time to just, after 700 episodes, this is a good sort of number to say let's shift it into the new format, and which is way more, I don't want to say open, because then you think of R&B and whatever as well, but within dance music is way more open. There's definitely bandwidth, so I would say it's sort of like melodic house to sort of like easier techno, let's put it that way, and everything in between. Yeah, the nice thing about Resonation right now is that I can actually go grab back certain tracks from like 2-3 weeks ago that I feel like, oh, these are so good, I play them again, which was something I couldn't really, because of the concept, I couldn't do with Corsten's Countdown, because it was always like the new tracks and you vote for the new tracks for next week. So there was only going back 1 week maybe. I always felt like, oh, you know what, that track didn't get voted, but I feel it's so strong and it should be played again. And I never, because of the concept, never got around to do that. So with Resonation, yeah, we have that opportunity to just grab back a few weeks. Okay, I was just going to do this as the top trance track of all time, but you're mentioning broadening musical horizons here. So to you, what is the top club or electronic track of all time? Sure, that's really good. That's a good question, which I'm not able to answer. Man. let's be honest. I think I've had that question for so many times already, and every time I had a different answer. So, yeah, man, oh, there's so many good ones. You know what? Honestly, one that jumps to mind right now, instantly for me personally, the sound that I love, it would definitely be Prytz with Opus. You know, that's really up there for me.
Okay, and then probably equally as challenging for you, can you try to nail it down to one track that you're most proud of producing, and why is that a standout for you?
Yeah, that's Curio Darlings. you know what? There's one track that's just, because it's so different, that I'm still very, feel proud of. It's Rock Your Body Rock that I've done so many years ago. And it was just like, why? Because it has so many different elements of different genres in there. And the vocodered vocal, it's me doing that. So everything about that track was just incredibly much fun to do and to explore. Still to this day, I think that's one of those crazy moments in your inspiration. You know, like, oh, how did I come up with that track?
Okay, there's a lot of possibilities for this one. Can you think of one or two DJs or producers from the beginning up to now that have really inspired you, have left a mark on you, and why?
Run from the past, definitely Todd Terry. He had so many amazing tracks. Now, I think really the guys from Tale of Us are really doing it for me. You know, the afterlife stuff. The thing is, what a lot of people say around me, yeah, but that's so easy, that music, you know, it's so simple. And that's exactly why it's so difficult to make. So if you want to do it well. So those guys really nailed that.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Please visit donatetocitr.ca to pledge to the station for our 2024 fund drive. Help us raise $20,000 to replace our radio transmitter. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca or Apple Podcasts. To give this one another spin or to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by, keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's Track from the Past. For this one, we're going to hop back 10 years in time to 2013 for some amazing tech house from one of my favorite producers. It is none other than Stefano Noferini unleashing the stabs. This is Mexico. Enjoy this, and I'll see you back here next time.